Good morning, everyone. It is time for Q&A day. Let me pull up where I'm going to be getting your questions and doing all the things. If you're wondering why I look so lovely today, I literally just got off the treadmill. So I have a commitment to myself that I'm working on between now and Memorial Day to run 3 times a week and to lift 5 times a week. I'm getting back into my meal weightlifting days. I'm about sore as a boil. I always lift, but I haven't done a 5-day split in a long time, and I am feeling it this morning. It is it is legit. So if you notice me grimacing and whatnot, you'll know why. I have 3 bottles of water on my desk. One half like almost all the way gone, so I'm totally ready to go today. When we get out of here, I'm gonna go and probably take a shower and then eat some breakfast and get started on all things self-sabotage. So that is gonna be our, for all of our newbies, this is a Q&A call. So if you want to ask a question, all you gotta do is type in hashtag ask so that Mary Jo and the community team can easily find your questions. I will be answering them. And that's all we do on this call. But you guys are going through no BS this month. You have plenty of time to take it. You can take it, you can take sweet ass time. You can take it 10 times if you want, once every month. You can take 3 months to get through the whole thing. It's whatever you want to do. But every month we also have some kind of a focus. So this month, the All In April became our focus so that we have like real time content and stuff. We'll be going back to regularly scheduled programming in May. And in May, the course is going to be all about self-sabotage, like why it happens, what you need to know, how to basically how to break self-sabotage. So the research starts today. I have 3 books that I've ordered. I don't know if they're any good, so I'm not going to recommend them or mention them until I go through them. And if I find one that's great, of course, I will recommend it for you guys to read. But I'm going to be studying the concept all day today. So I'm super excited about it. I love the study part. The study part is the most fun for me. So make sure that if you have a question that you go through and use hashtag ask. And Megan, thank goodness, that's so me. No frowny faces. Guys, I don't like the sad face emojis. They drive me crazy. Here's why. It lets me know that you're judging yourself. Stop judging yourself. Everybody self-sabotages in some form or fashion. It's not a problem if you're doing it. The problem is when you judge yourself for doing it. There's your problem. But if you stop judging and being afraid, because here's the thing with self-sabotage, it's so funky. Self-sabotage literally just means, I believe this, I really want this, I'm acting this way, but because I believe this, I fuck this up on purpose because I have to keep acting like this old version of me. So now all I got to do is figure out what are the things that I believe about myself, rewire that shit, and then I'm good to go. That's all that's going to happen. It's no more complicated than that. It's no more like it's just that's it. But you guys, this is what happens. I believe this about myself. I want this. I start acting this way. I start messing this up to prove this true. And then I sit over here and be like, and oh my God, you're such a loser because you're self-sabotaging. Oh my God, you're so broken. You're never going to get your shit together. Like you're judging yourself sabotaging. Well, guess what happens? We got to clean up your fucking judgment before we can even get into rewiring your identity. Stop judging things, guys. Like I really want you to understand that if you're overeating or doing anything, it's not a problem. You have to be like, oh, it's not a problem. The way if I keep describing it as a problem, it feels like ass. If I start thinking about, thank God I'm finding out these things because this is what's going to unlock weight loss for me. That is a much better way to be thinking about stuff. Like when you are writing your 24-hour plans and you are figuring out your hunger scale and stuff, guys, when you are not following your 24-hour plans and when you are not doing your hunger scale, you cannot say, I'm broken. I'm struggling. This shit's so hard. Think about how it feels. If it feels like ass, we gotta quit talking about it like that. There's always better language to use. Think about how you would talk to your kid every day. If they walked around going, oh my God, I'm such a loser. It's just so hard to be a teenager. Oh my God. I don't know. Dishes are just so hard for me. Like, you would be so annoyed at your kid. And you'd just be like, stop fucking talking about it like that. Like, just go do the dishes. Rather than saying, I struggle with my hunger scale, you could just say, like, I'm figuring out my hunger scale. Here I am, one more time, figuring out my hunger scale. Like, clean up the language, everyone. Like, if you don't learn anything inside this No BS program, it is we have to be so on to ourselves when we are hosing ourselves by the way we simply talk about things. When you talk about things like you're solving it, and you talk about things like you're figuring it out, and you talk about things like, this is the next step for me, this is exactly what I need to be looking at in order to become the person I want to be. When you talk about it like that, guess what happens? You start solving problems. You start becoming the person you want to be. You start feeling better. When you start talking about it, you're like, oh my God, it's just so hard. It's been so many years since I've been eating like this. And let me get, yeah, but let me tell you this. And yeah, but let me tell you this. And then there's this. And then there's that. And then there's it. When you do all that shit, guys, you're going to need a snack to get through your story. Your story about everything that's going on should be so simple, quick, and easy to tell that you don't need a snack to get through it. All right. Jenny, I am finding it hard to find my motivation to find the real reason why I want to lose weight. How can I find this, please? Just keep asking every day. You don't need motivation to find it. You need to write about it. Like, you're looking for the wrong thing. It's like, I need to be motivated to find my reason why. No, you don't. You just need to write every day. You need commitment to writing about it every day. You need to show up every day when you don't want to write about it every day. A lot of weight loss, guys, is not about like ginning up your motivation and being excited and happy and thrilled and blah, blah, blah. Do you know when like motivation happens? Motivation happens after you show up a little bit and do some shit to prove to yourself you can actually do it. And then all of a sudden you're fucking motivated. It's like, look at me. Look at shit I'm doing. All of a sudden I feel so much better. Action creates momentum. Action creates motivation. It does not work. Like, you're not going to have momentum and you're not going to have motivation first. Now, sometimes some of you guys are like just thrilled to be here and all this other stuff. That's wonderful. But the vast majority of people, it's a no. It's just a no. I was not motivated one fuck this morning to go run on that treadmill. You know what I was? I was committed. Do you know why I did it this morning? Because I had wrote it down on a piece of paper in my planner and I was like, oh, I just follow my orders. I'm a very decisive person. I decisively exercise. I'm not a highly motivated exerciser. Now, once I'm doing it, I love it. Guess what? When I'm finished, I'm like, beast mode. It feels so good. It's all the things. But when it's time to get started, I am a decisive exerciser. Not a motivated one. Most of the time, I'm not. The only thing I'm really motivated to do is go out and take a walk. I love doing that. It's easy to get myself out the door to go do a walk. But to get on the treadmill and run and sweat and I'm a turtle and like I know I'm going to like I judge myself the whole time I'm on there and I have to shut down my judgment. Like, yeah, but I'm decisive. So I think for you, Jenny, it's like there's probably no real reason why you want to lose weight. There just are reasons. So just decide on which one's important to you today. Tomorrow, it might be different. Just every single day. Here's my 5 reasons why today I want to lose weight. And sometimes they'll repeat, sometimes they won't, but just make yourself write down 5. And it can be something as silly as like, I want to lose weight because I'm tired of writing down in my journal every day why I want to lose weight. I just want a reason. Could literally be that. I've been a member for a year. I'm struggling not to over it. Oh my God, Laura, did you not listen to what I just said? Laura, you have to type in now, like before I even will talk to you. You need to reframe your question. And I want you to reframe it in a way that sounds like you'd actually like to solve the problem. Not in a way that sounds like I just need help. I'm struggling, Corinne. Wah, wah. I'm sure that if you've been in the tribe for a year, if you've been talking about your struggle for a year, yeah, no, that doesn't generate one fucking ounce of action. It does not make you want to push play. it'll make you want to read a lot of shit and see what everybody else is doing. Be like, oh, yeah, they're doing so good. Look at them. I just sit around struggling. So much harder for me. Oh, my God. And here's why. When we talk about stuff like that, guys, when you talk about yourself as a struggler and you talk about yourself like that, your brain goes to work to prove your identity true. It's like, well, but this food tastes so good. You know how much we struggle with our overeating. Why should we even stop? We haven't even been doing good. We've been in like this group for like a year. We're just struggling. Like, do you see how that works? It's terrible. So I'm figuring out how to stop overeating. All right, so now, Laura, tell me all the things that you've done in the last 30 days to figure out losing weight. If you haven't done jack shit, like, I've not listened to one live, Corinne. I've done nothing. Like, I want you to at least give me some stuff. Like, tell me how you've been figuring it out the last month, and then we'll talk about the next 30 days. Andy, oh my God, you have to reframe your question. I'm seriously not going to answer any questions today that are framed like y'all are talking to yourself like a dickhead. That's what's not happening today. This is my Q&A. This ain't no other coach's Q&A. I'm not throwing my coaches under the bus, but they're not going to like talk to you like this. Here's the thing. We're not indulging in bullshit today. We got babies here. We got newbies. They're going to have to learn real fast that we don't talk like we're victims in this group. Guys, you're no BS women. That means you don't take, I don't think bullshit. I don't talk bullshit. I don't eat like bullshit. That is your three. So, Andy, here's your question. You got to retype it in. And then, Mary Jo, you can give it to me again. I'm having trouble sticking to my 24-hour plan. I make a plan every day, but when it comes to eat that meal, I want something else. The meals are equivalent, and I have been eating well, just not sticking to my plan. Okay, Andy, I want you to reframe it, and I want you to ask it in a way that makes it sound like I'm really working on this. Here's how I'm really working on it. Here are my thoughts about it. What are your thoughts, Corinne? Like, we're going to talk about this. Like, guys, we're in a meeting. We're in a board meeting right now where there's a lot of cuss words. We're sailors. We're in a board meeting, and we're all ex-sailors and Marines. But that's how I want you guys presenting today. Your questions need to be presented like you give a shit about yourself. We're going to turn on our adult mind right now. All right. I've been a member for a year, and since the new year, I've been off track and now so much worse. I need help with self-judgment. Yeah, you do. So reframe your question, Terry, and ask it like a grown-ass woman, and don't ask it like this. Seriously, we're not going to get to any help today until some people start asking some questions like you're wanting to solve the problem. I don't want to hear questions asked in a way that like lets you indulge in feeling like shit. It's not helpful. Not helpful at all. Like this, I need help with self-judgment. All right, step one, don't phrase your questions in a way that sounds like an asshole to yourself. This is going to be a long day. Long day. Should I get through No BS before looking for an accountability group? I'm just getting ready to start phase two, but I love the support I'm seeing on Facebook and would love a smaller group too. March newbie, but listening since January. This is an amazing question. I love it. Very well phrased. It says this is what I'm doing. I feel really good about it. So if this is my answer, you do not need to go all the way through No BS in order to ask for an accountability group. If you want one now, you can go on over to pnptribe.com. Go to the I think it's the community. Is it community? Jesus. Let me look. We change the titles every now and then. I'm going to tell you exactly where to go. It's the community tab. If you'll scroll down to find accountability partner, you can go ahead and get one. Guys, here's my advice though. Like when you're going to get an accountability group or partner, make sure that you have, like, I like for you guys to have at least gone through the first phase of No BS so that you really understand the four basics, you know, like you're introduced to your planner, that kind of thing. And so that when you're in a group, you guys know what to talk about. Okay. Each week in your Massive Action Line newsletter that comes out every Sunday at noon, we put in there something every single week for the accountability groups to talk about. Plus, if you want an accountability group, we will be sending you information on like how to run your group so that you have like a template for getting started and all that kind of stuff. But you can do it now. Now, if you overwhelm easy, guys, don't ask for an accountability group yet. Go through, get some stuff underneath your belt and everything. Accountability groups are great for the people who are gung-ho, thrive off of other people, want to, not only do they want to share their journey, but they want to offer and they need help. Accountability groups are not there for you to just go in and go, I struggle. It's so hard for me. I need all of you to figure out my shit. Don't, like, accountability is an equal opportunity group, which means you give a little, you take a little. So when you get into a group, remember, people are going to need help and you are going to need help. You need to not be a total people pleaser and never get your help and only be helping other people and then be fucking not losing weight. So don't use it as a distraction. But also, you need to go in there and not just be whining all the time. Like, I want you guys, like, I'm going to start teaching you on these Q&As how to start asking questions and how to get help and stuff. Go in there and say, here's what I experienced this week. Notice how I didn't say, here's what I struggled with this week. Here's where I'm having trouble. It's like, here's what I experienced this week. I had this many overeats. I noticed my patterns. This is their things. Like, now what I want to do is I want to figure out what to do. So here are some ideas that I have. Or I haven't really been able to come up with any new ideas. What ideas do you guys have? Notice how that conversation is very different than somebody who just goes in and says, well, just struggling this week, guys. And just, I don't know. It's really hard for me to even look at my mistakes because I'm such a loser. A lot of you do that to yourselves all the time. Like, I belong to small accountability groups for business and stuff. We're not even allowed to post for help unless we have come up with a solution. Like, here's what I'm thinking about doing. Or this isn't working, and here's what I'm thinking about doing. We're not allowed to just go in and be like, I tried that, it didn't work. Help. Sad emoji. That's bullshit. You know what you do? You cut yourself off from ever having your own wisdom. Every single one of you, if you are on a call with me, I never just tell you what to do. I just keep asking you questions until you fucking come up with an answer. And I'm like, oh yeah, what do you think of that? These are the things you should probably do. The only difference is I'm just making you come up with your own solutions. You guys have to learn how to do that for yourself. And that's why you're here. Because nobody in the real world makes you do that. You know what they do? They're like, oh my God, I know. It's so freaking hard. God. Eating. We should order a pizza and we should talk about how hard it is to lose weight. That's what we need to do. That's what you get in the real world. We're not the real world here. We're like decisive world. Okay. And by the way, whoever asked that, congratulations on your 28 pounds. I too am feeling like I don't want to do this. Very low energy. How do you get your energy back up? You have to, Lisa, you got to start talking about it differently. I want you to rephrase the question. Rather than saying, I too feel like I don't want to do this. How about this? Like, I notice that sometimes I think I don't want to do this. But I know that's crap because I'm actually on a Facebook Live right now listening on how to do this. So, like, I already know that it's crap. I actually want to do it. Just sometimes I think I don't. Like, that's one way to do it. The other thing is, how do you get your energy back? You start doing things that are energetic. You don't wait to get your energy to start doing things. Like, energy doesn't come from sitting back going, bring it. Where is it? Where's my energy? I'm just waiting. Somebody shower it. No. Do you know what brings energy? You doing something. You need to make a list of some small things that you can do and say, like, you know what? These are the things that I can make myself do today. These things right here. You don't shoot for the sky. You don't go to anything, but you're like, this is exactly what I can do. It will take some energy for me to do it, but I know I will do these things. And you get into action. And when you get into action, that creates a little bit of momentum. And the momentum allows you to start feeling a little bit more energetic and a little bit more motivated. But for a lot of you, you got to get over your bullshit that's like, I need all the energy and I need to do all the things. I need to be doing it perfectly like all these people over here. It's like, no. You know what I need to do? I need to get into action. I can do these things today. Can y'all drink water? Every one of you should be able to make a 24-hour plan. I don't even make you, like, it literally, if you want to put down Snickers, Reese's eggs, all the things on it, put it on there. But make a 24-hour plan instead of making excuses. Nobody needs energy for that. You might need to override perfectionism, judgment, and bullshit. But you don't need energy. And you don't need motivation. And you don't need excitement to get that shit done. You need to use your override button. Another Lisa. I had a great week and lost 3 pounds. Then last night I went off plan before bedtime. What is a better thought to tell myself when my habit brain offers up the urge? If you know that's going to be a pattern for you, one of the things that I tell people to do is on weigh-in day, like when you lose weight, you're going to need to plan at 8 a.m. Say, you know what? I'm going to deal with 8 p.m. by dealing with 8 a.m. at 8 a.m. So we actually did a podcast on this yesterday where I was talking about this concept. But it's essentially, when I lose weight, I notice that I have urges. And I have urges because I will tell my things like, I've been good, I've been all this other stuff. Here's the conversation that I want to have in those moments. I want to visualize myself not eating in response to them. It's a lot of just visualizing it. This is why it's really good to like notice when this has happened. And like, I love how you're not talking about it like so defeated. You're just talking about like, this is what I noticed. Like, I had an urge after I lost 3 pounds. I had a really good week. The first thing that I would tell myself right now is I still had a really good week. And here's why. Not only did I lose 3 pounds, but I noticed a pattern that I have, that I have an urge to eat after I've lost 3 pounds. That's going to be really useful because to lose all of my weight, I'll have to overcome that urge. And that's just something that my brain offers up when I weigh in, when I have success. I'd also be like, does it do it when I also gain weight? Like, is this going to help me with all kinds? Like, sometimes if I gain weight, lose weight or whatever, most of us, no matter what the scale says, like we'll have an urge that night. And a lot of it comes from anticipating, like, ask yourself, why would an urge appear? Like, why am I rewarding it? Like, I've been good all week. Like, look for things that it could be telling you, like, maybe I'm telling myself all week long that this is being good and I just want to be bad a little bit. Maybe that's a signal that I have good and bad food mentality that I need to work on. Maybe I am keeping out certain foods through the week that I'm still judging. And through the process of keeping those foods out, I am not building a healthy relationship with including them decisively on purpose and learning to eat them in control. Like, look at all the reasons why that urge came. It's not so, like, I'm usually not as interested in what you're going to say to the urge. And a lot of times what you guys do is y'all get so hemmed up on like, I just need to know how to handle this urge. And I'm like, I'm way more interested in why they come. What creates the urge in the first place? And when we start solving for the reasons why the urges are created in the first place, sitting through one becomes way easier because you've looked at it and you understand it and you know about it and you don't need to spend so much time resisting and fighting it. A lot of times when you really unwind all the reasons why they're coming in the first place, like if you dropped your good food, bad food shit, and if you really realized that, you know, you don't really need food as a reward, like you spend a lot of time really rewarding yourself mentally all week long for every little thing you do, and you feel more empowered on a Friday night after a weigh-in and stuff, urges don't come. They have no need to come. That's how you end up reducing them. So it's more about looking at all the reasons why an urge would want to populate itself. So I think for you, reminding yourself right now, it's like, I had an amazing week. Like, it was because I did all these things. I ended up having an overeat. I'm looking at all the reasons why it came up and stuff. This has been a really great week. This is unlike any other diet I've ever done. And that's how, like, guys, you got to start talking about your stuff. If she came in here saying, like, and, you know, I had this really good week and then I blew it by eating on Friday night, which is what a lot of you will do. You'll dismiss all the work you did, all the learning, all the ability to be able to tell yourself what a good job you did. You blow all that momentum on this one overeat that's literally just the next thing you need to resolve for weight loss. That's it. It's just trying to tell you some stuff. That's it. I'm newly pregnant and have food aversions and nausea. That's the way I was. Oh my God. Logan had no siblings because I had the worst pregnancy and the worst labor. And then he didn't sleep for 18 months. I like felt like I spent over 2 years in hell. I was like, who has more children? Is it always like this? We've been limiting the trips to the grocery store and are in survival mode. It is hard to stay on plan right now. What can I do to be more realistic about planning in my current situation? I make myself food and feel so sick I don't eat it. And I'm doing well at other three races. I would have compassion for yourself right now on, like, this is all hormonal. Still keep making your plans. And if you choose not to eat them, it's okay. It, you know, this is like, I want you to think about, this is going to be a period of your pregnancy where you really want to have just your foundational habits, which is I'm planning every, like, I make a plan every day no matter what. I'm also really good at understanding why I'm not eating the things that I do. It's like because of my nausea. It's because of my pregnancy. Like, it's because of these reasons. Your brain will make the connections that it's not just saying, fuck it, and all this other stuff. We don't want to practice that, but what we can do is practice that decisive eating and decisive changing of the plan. The other thing that I would do is quit calling it survival mode. I just don't think that that's helpful. It's probably making you feel worse. Guys, really watch the language that you're using around this time. I want you to just say, like when you say, I'm newly pregnant and have food aversions and nausea, we've been limiting the trips to the grocery store, rather than saying, and we are in survival mode, just say, we've been limiting the trips to the grocery store because it's the best thing to do right now. Like, I want you to think about when you describe it in survival mode, tell me how that feels in your body. Probably feels panicky, edgy, nervous, defeated, trapped. Guys, I want you to think about that. How you describe this stuff is going to be really important for what you're sitting around, like, especially if you're sitting around in your house all the time with your food and stuff. If you're describing, like, well, we're just in survival mode right now. We're just trying to get through all this. Like, that is language that is not helpful. Not helpful at all. We want to make sure that we're using language that's helpful. It's like rather than saying, I'm just trying to get through this every single day, I'm figuring out things that I can do today that are in my control. Every single day, I'm figuring out how to show up for myself. You could talk about this stuff like you're the hero of your own journey, or you can talk to it like you're about it like you're in a prison. And like some jailbird waiting to get out. Don't do that to yourselves. That's always going to be your own option. Steph, I only lost 1 pound this week. And my goal is always 3 pounds a week. It's a no. There's no using the word only. I lost 1 pound. Steph, right now, I only lost like a pound this week. I can just hear the collective wah, wah. I'm surprised you didn't even put the sad emoji in there. I lost a pound this week. Here's how I thought about it. When I had 100 pounds to lose, every fucking pound got me closer to what I needed to do. I was going to have to lose it 1 pound at a time. You're going to have to lose it 1 pound at a time. If your goal is 3 and you lost 1, then figure out, in order to lose 3, this is what I'll need to do. Just because your goal is 3 don't mean you're setting yourself up to lose 3 pounds a week. A lot of you do that to yourselves. You're like, well, I'm going to follow the basics, and I'm going to eat my realistic plan, and I'm going to plan my pizza and all this other stuff because I'm on my traditional diet that I'm going to lose like 3 pounds a week. Where in the past, you went on a traditional diet where you ate like an asshole for a week, barely, living off of like alfalfa sprouts and celery sticks dipped in like fat-free ranch or something. This is, like, you got to decide. You need to go back. She said, my thought is, ugh, I ate the wrong stuff and didn't try hard enough. That is not, yeah, she said, and that feels disheartening. For fuck sure, that feels disheartening. How else, I want you to type in, Steph, how else can you describe it? So first, we're chopping off the word only. I lost a pound this week. My goal was 3. Here are the things that I did this week. If I want to lose 3, here are the things I'm willing to do next week. I learned a lot this week. You don't even have to top it in. I learned a lot this week. I learned that, like, structuring it this way loses 1 pound. Do I want to lose 3 pounds per week? Or do I, like, really like the way I structured it? It felt kind of easy and doable. Maybe I should just slow my roll a bit. Let me do this a few weeks. And then if I want to up my game, I can. But we're not, this is what we're not going to do, Steph. We ain't going to up our game out of desperation because we're judging the fuck out of ourselves. We're not going to beat ourselves into submission to lose 3 pounds. That feels like shit, and that's every other diet you've probably ever done. Where you like, the best way to lose weight is to act like an asshole to myself. I notice that I do better when I talk to myself poorly. Except this is what always happens. Always. You talk poorly to yourself. Eventually, you start feeling good about your progress. You stop talking poorly to yourself. The only thing that was motivating you to lose weight is gone because now you're being nice to yourself. You've, like, if you set yourself up on a belief system that you have to ass whip yourself in order to lose weight, then when you start talking nice to yourself because you have lost some weight, you will be running head first into this. You'll start gaining weight again so you can get back to talking like an asshole to yourself to motivate yourself to lose weight. We have to break that habit. So we have to look at cleaning up the language. I lost a pound this week. Here's everything that I did that allowed me to lose a pound this week. Now, my goal was to lose 3 pounds this week. If I know that these are the things that lose 1 pound and I would like to lose 3, what things am I truly willing to do that feel good, that feel doable, that I can motivate myself to do and I can encourage myself to do? Then you can do that. Or you can take a look at it and say, like, you know, maybe 3 is unrealistic. Maybe I've always wanted to do 3 pounds because I was so focused on beating myself up that I was using the weight loss as a way to change the conversation I was having with myself. Here's what I probably could do. Just change the conversation I'm having with myself while I lose weight patiently and, like, in a way that actually will help me lose it for the rest of my life. There's always that option too. I had a lot of learning opportunities with overeats and binges. I'm TDLing and modeling and think a lot of the emotions I'm trying to buffer revolve around people pleasing. Is there a best place to start? I've been in here since September. Yeah. Let's see. I think a lot of the emotions I'm trying to buffer revolve around people pleasing. So what I would do is I would look at, so if you're people pleasing, you need to ask why. Most of the time, this is what people pleasers are doing. It's like, if I try to keep you happy, then that means I don't have to judge myself. Versus, what if I just do the things that I know I need to be doing, and sometimes I'm going to tell people no, and I don't have to beat myself up and judge myself if you don't like it. I can actually appreciate that you might not like it. I can appreciate that you might be disappointed. Sometimes that's what's happening with people pleasers. I would just make a list of, like, also, like, if you notice you're overeating and stuff, like, what are your thoughts about you know, like make a list of the last few times that you overate. Like, who are the people that you tend to do it with? And what is it going to take to, like, and what are the things that you're people pleasing? And then what is it going to take to start not doing that? Like, if you start, like, if you think you have to do these things to please them and that's causing you to eat, it's really, this is like one of those where I really need to talk to you. Can you come to tomorrow, Jennifer? Can you come to tomorrow's coaching call at noon? I'll call on you if you can, and we can just coach on this. This would be a lot easier. But I think one of the best ways to start, like, just simply, is by just asking yourself, who are the people that, like, come up with your top three people you people please. And then out of those three, pick the one you eat over the most. And then when you have that one, then we go into, okay, if this person, here are the things that happen that are my biggest offenders that I notice where I eat. And then backtrack, like, what is it going to take to not eat over this? What thoughts is it going to take to not eat over this? When they say these things or when they want these things, what is it going to take for me to not eat over it? Like, do I need to say no? If I'm going to say no, what do I make that mean? Do I go immediately to, I'm bad, I'm disappointing people? A lot of you too, when it comes to weight loss, y'all have a story that you need to rewrite where you will say, like, in order for me to lose weight, I'm just going to have to get selfish. And that goes against everything that you believe on the inside. None of us have to be selfish to lose weight. Like, if you think about it, like, if you're going to lose weight, you just eat when you're hungry and you stop when you're satisfied. Nobody in the world suffers when you do that. When you make a 24-hour plan and it takes you 2 minutes, nobody in the world is going to suffer over your 24-hour plan. Guess what they get to do? Eat whatever they want. Like, nobody's getting food taken away from them based on what you decide to eat. Like, I was just coaching someone last night, and she had, like, a big blow-up with her husband over some steak. I was like, you're the one eating the steak. You're the one who has amazing ideas for the steak and stuff. Why are you pissed off at him? Why are you making it mean like you're, he never listens and he's so wasteful and he's all these things? It's like, it was his week to cook steak. You either agreed that it was his decision or not. If you have a different opinion, why not just cook the steak yourself? Or we could go the long way around this and be all pissed off at our husband and make it mean that he's a loser and he's an asshole and he's all these other things and browbeat him until he does something with steak. I just like to take the easy road. I like the road where I'm not, like, mad all the time. If I want to do something with a piece of steak, I just do it. But it's like those things when it comes to people pleasing, you got to ask yourself, like, what are you doing? Why are you doing it? I would just pick the one person. I'd also, we have our relationships weekend next week. It's our virtual workshop. So if you can't come tomorrow, make sure that you are going to attend that. It is, let me give you all the times and dates. It is, it's April the 18th, and it's going to start at 10 a.m. Central Time. It will end at 5 p.m. Central Time. We will take a 1 hour lunch break between 1 and 2. Kathy and I will be teaching it. It's included in your membership. You'll just go to Zoom. And then on Sunday from noon to 3, we will do coaching. But that one's going to be all about relationships and stuff. We'll probably touch on the people pleasing and stuff, but you will at least develop a better relationship with some people. So it doesn't matter if it's kids, if it's bosses, if it's parents, if it's partners, whatever it is, guys, all are welcome. We're going to work on it in a very general way. So you can insert your person here and work on relationships. When are you supposed to fill out the discovery worksheet? After you overeat, or if you eat off plan but you were hungry, just made a swap. I particularly like to do it for everything. If you are just beginning, then I would, relationship with self, you can do the relationship with yourself too. It's all the same. But what I would do is, if you want to work on the relationship with yourself, make sure you're using the self-love course for sure. Amaka, you should be doing self-love 24/7 every single month. I know you. All the time. No excuses. I would do the after every overeat for sure. A lot of people like to do it when they're swapping, no matter what, because a lot of times what the discovery worksheet will do will also show you when you are making swaps that are like amazing for yourself. Like, oh my God, I'm such a baller. I used to swap salad out for pizza. You know what I am? I'm swapping out salad for like healthy soup, whatever it is. It like I like a discovery worksheet isn't always about figuring out what's wrong with me. It's never about that. It's always about discovering what's working and what's not and what can work and like problem solving and stuff like that. How can I rethink I'm not sleeping at night? I need a thought I'm trying to believe. Well, stop saying I'm not sleeping at night. How about I'm working on it? Here are the things I'm doing this week to try to solve it. Like, I'm very dedicated to sleeping through the night. Those are some things you could think. My husband is a trucker and only home for a few days out of the month. When he is home, I go off plan more often, but still try to make healthy choices. I don't have the ability to know his schedule beforehand. As many times he calls me the day to say he is on his way home. What can I do to better stay on plan while he's at home? Bridget, this is where I would have like a plan. Like, why don't you come up with a backup plan for when my husband comes home? Like, even if I've made a plan and I'm like, oh, my husband's coming home. Here's the protocol. Here are the things I eat. So a protocol is something that we teach. We teach every now and then. We don't put it inside the NoBS, but it's basically like, you know, when my husband comes home and it's unexpected, here are the things I want to choose. It's just making decisions ahead of time. It's basically like having your 24, like a back pocket 24-hour plan. So like if these things happen, this is what I order. It's the same thing when we go out to eat. So like when, you know, back in the day when we could all go out to eat. So one of the things that I've always had is like, here's the restaurants that we like to go to. And I have a menu that I keep. So like in my phone, I have my menu. I know these are the things that I order from each one of these restaurants. I don't even need a menu when I go to those restaurants because we tend to go to the same damn places all the damn time. And I have looked at the menus. I know which things really work for me and I have them all in there and that's what I do. I don't need to order a menu. I don't need to like, this is what it saved me from perusing the menu to look at all the things I can't have. I used to do that to myself and I was like, this is bullshit. This feels like crap. I don't want to sit around and just look at the things I can't have. Like that was my mental construct. So I decided I'm going to create a menu for myself for all the places that I love to go. This is the menu that I totally love. I don't need your menu because you know what I have? I have the one I decided ahead of time. I have all the things that I love. Period. Felt way better and is way better. I made my 24-hour plan at night. Some days when I go to eat a meal, I would like to make an equivalent swap, but that feels like not following my plan. Some days I put down more than one choice, but that still feels like not following my plan. What else could I try? Well, that's kind of how I do it, Andy. So I, you know, not going to judge, but whenever I, like if I think that, like a lot of times for breakfast, I have like three options. A, B, and C. These are the three things. And I just pick whatever I'm in the mood for that day. I don't think there's anything wrong with that. I've listened to the free podcast for a year and I'm a newbie. I'm doing the 24-hour sheets and all in April sheets faithfully. Awesome. I'm working on sticking. This is Stephanie. I'm working on sticking to my eating plan and adding in movement. Should I focus just on the plan for now and the movement later? I would. Here's what I would do. I would just get like the... Movement is fine. If you feel like you want to be doing it and it's not going to overwhelm you, go ahead and put that in. But if it's going to feel like too much, like you'll be the one who will know. Some people can come in here and be like, I'm starting the four basics right now. Like I can do all four. It's so much easier than everything I've done in my past. This doesn't feel overwhelming. For some of you, you've just had so many past failed diets. It's like, no, I can't even do all four of them. I need to start with one. I need to get really good at one because I got a way more chatter in my head about I'm going to fail, I'm going to fail, I'm going to fail. And I need something so simple that I can work on telling myself, no, I'm not, no, I'm not, no, I'm not. So it's really about your personal conversations you have with yourself and what you know that you're willing to do. Like, what are you going to do? So just decide on that and whatever you decide, just do it. I'm in a lot of physical pain right now that's contributing to emotional pain. I'm eating to... Physical pain doesn't contribute to emotional pain. That's one of the things I want to help you with, Sylvia. Let me read the whole thing. I'm eating to try and get relief. It's a bad habit I've developed. What else can I do instead of eating? Looking for ideas. All right, so we actually have some calls on this. Mary Jo, maybe you can find them. Physical pain can't contribute to emotional pain. So when you go through phase two of No BS, what you're going to learn is the model. Your physical pain is a circumstance in your life. You have thoughts about it that are emotionally painful. So the way to separate it out is to first and foremost realize that physical pain, I have a relationship with it. And currently the relationship with my physical pain causes me emotional pain because of how I think about it. And then when I cause myself emotional pain, the way that I'm dealing with all of it is by trying to eat, hoping that that's going to fix. And all it really does is add to the overall pain. Like getting really clear on just how it's actually happening, because your brain is kind of telling you this. Well, because I have this, that makes me feel bad, and I need to eat to deal with all of it. And you're creating this false belief that somehow you're helping yourself. Here's how I know you're not helping yourself. Your physical pain's not going away, neither is your emotional pain around it. And you probably have another construct of emotional pain around that you trying to eat through it. Like realistically, you wouldn't be asking the question if you thought it was an amazing solution. It's causing pain too. It's causing pain in your weight. So like really being honest with yourself about this is how it's actually working. My physical pain, here are the thoughts that I have about it. It sucks. It's too much to handle. I don't like it. Whatever those thoughts are, you need to uncover them. So I want you to go through phase two of the No BS and understand the model. And then I want you to put whatever your physical pain is. So like if you have, let's say, bad hip or it's back pain, or maybe you've had a traumatic head injury or something along those lines, whatever it is, I want you to put that in your circumstance line. Then how you describe it is going to be a model for each one of those descriptions. So you'll probably have what most of us have is like if we have like I have a relationship with depression. So I have depression as a circumstance. It's not good or bad until I start applying thoughts to it. And I either judge the depression in a way that makes me feel bad, or I create a relationship with it in a way that allows me to feel peace, or it allows me to feel relief from my own thinking, or it allows me to feel comfort that I can handle it, or it allows me to feel empowered, whatever it is. So you want to make sure that you're identifying all those thoughts. Make a list of them. And then for each one, there's an individual model for it. Every thought will have its own emotion attached to it. And every emotion, a lot of the actions will look the same. It may be eating, but sometimes it's going to be like yelling at people, isolating. A lot of people in their action line when they're in physical pain and they have a lot of emotional pain attached to it because of how they're thinking, their action line is to eat, to isolate, to drink, to do different things. So just really watching at this point is like, I need to really understand how this is really working for me. And every single time that result, like if you think it sucks, and let's say that like my physical pain, let's say your thought is it sucks, and you feel defeated, and your action is eat, then the result is I suck at dealing with it. Not I get relief. Because true relief, true authentic relief means that you've figured out a way to be at peace with something. Not I've figured out a way to run away from it for a few minutes, and then it all comes roaring back in. I think we have some calls on physical pain too. Mary Jo, you probably can look and can link it up inside this replay, but I'm almost sure we've done some calls. One of my accountability partners told us a long story about her husband and then told us she didn't want any advice. I replied that we're not her girlfriends, we're her accountability group. I asked her to go back and listen to what she said and write down her thoughts versus facts and model the shit out of her thoughts. How else can I help someone who feels stuck and seems they want to stay stuck? I will give you two pieces of advice. Number one is you did the right thing, like in terms of like here. Like, I know you don't want any advice, so I'm not going to give you any advice. But you do have a tool that can help you work through your shit on your own. That's all you can do. There's nothing else to do at this point. If someone wants to stay stuck, let them stay stuck. But let's say that this same person comes back day after day after day talking about it. As a group, here's what I would say. It seems like each day you just want to bitch about your husband. This is how it would go down in my account. I'll give you Corinne's version, and then I'll give you another version. I'll give you the more friendly version. Corinne's version would be like, seems like every single day you come in here bitching about your husband. Let it, like, the next time you come in, since we're all talking about weight loss, bring models. That would be my first thing. Now, you also could say, hey, we know that you're in a lot, like, we can tell you're in a lot of pain because you keep thinking these things about your husband. Let us know when you start working through some of it. We're going to, like, let us know what some of the solutions are. You start really making it clear through guiding, like, you're in a pity party right now. Let's get out of the pity party. But here's what I want to warn all of you. You are not coaches. You are accountability groups. And a lot of you are friends too, right? Let somebody be mad for a little bit. So when I talk to my girlfriend, Jane, this is what I typically do. Girl, I don't want no coaching. I need my girlfriend right now. Let me tell you what Chris said. I go ham. And she does not come back with, now, Corinne, I'm a master coach. You need to be a grown-ass woman or whatever. She usually comes back and here's her reply. Woo, you are worked up. I can see why you're so mad. I might be mad too. Like, she'll agree. Like, yeah, if I was thinking that shit, I'd be mad too. And we move on. Now, if I messaged her 4 days in a row about the same shit over and over again, she'd be like, okay, I'm your friend, and I'm going to now just tell you this. You need to get over this shit. Like, our calls can't always be about Chris and you being mad at him now. We got to get back to solving the world's problems. She would, like that's the conversations we would be having. So I think for all of you, it's like, you know, in your groups, think about where somebody is sometimes. Sometimes people are legit hurting and stuff. Like, you don't have to show them it's their thoughts and stuff. Let them run their steam out. The nice thing about being here is that we're always talking about changing our thoughts, changing our thoughts. A lot of you do it naturally. Sometimes you just need to bitch. I literally, about at least twice a week on my Marco Polos to Jane, I just say, like, I'm just going to bitch about this for a little bit. I just need to get it out. I just need to, like, verbalize everything I'm thinking. And as I'm talking, I'll say, like, I know this is on me, but I'm just telling you, I'm really pissed about it. And a lot of times I get a relief from that. And some of your accountability groups, people are going to get relief from it. But here's what I would do. You're not there to fix anyone. You're not there to solve their problems. You're literally there to offer new perspectives. Y'all are there to offer perspective. Have you thought about it this way? Have you thought about, like, you know, trying this or trying that? Or your job is to, like, check in when somebody goes rogue. Like, hey, I know it's been a couple days. And I know you. You'd have a pattern of, like, dropping out when you're not perfect and then coming back in when you've hit your reset button. I'm just letting you know. Why don't we start learning from that? As your accountability group, I notice your patterns. My friend Jane, she's always telling me she knows my patterns. She will say, the day before yesterday, I was just bitching about Chris, just like all the things. And she said, hey, when you Marco Polo me back, let me know where you're at in your cycle. Because I know that when you're around this time, like when you're getting ready to ovulate, you tend to be a little more emotional and you tend to get pissed real easy. 2 days or 3 days, I was 3 days out from ovulating. Like, but that's like when you get to know people, you can start spotting their patterns. And that's the beautiful thing about the, like about all of the accountability groups is watch your people. Your gut will tell you when they're getting into their patterns. Start pointing it out. Just saying like, hey, I just noticed. Like with my friend Jane, she's told everybody, she's a binge eater. I can always tell when she's going to have a day where I think like I'm getting the signals. She'll have certain expressions. She'll be really tired, all the things. And I'll say, hey, I just want to let you know that I've known you long enough that today might be one of those days where you need to really pay attention. If you need me, make sure you text. If you think you're going to binge or whatever, just text me. I'll make sure my phone's on all day. Like, and it won't even be anything like that she would have noticed. But I catch it because I'm not in the middle of it. Like, I'm just your friend. So it's like really thinking about those things. And like when you're in your accountability groups, I think that's some of the stuff that you guys could really level up your groups on is that you're not there to fix people. You're there to highlight and spotlight, show them the things that they might not be able to see, check in on them, lovingly tell them their patterns. And sometimes you're going to let them bitch. But here's what we do. We let them play in their diaper for a little bit. There's nothing like a good little diaper play. Sometimes it's fun. Sometimes it's like amazing. The novelty is cool. And then we say like, okay, enough's enough for your sake, not for ours. You're in a lot of pain. We want you to feel better. What can we do to help you figure this out so that you get to have relief? I sleep 10 hours a night. Oh my God, Kate, you're like living my dream. You're living my husband's real life. And get up with an alarm going off. Do you think I should look into a bigger reason I need so much sleep? I'm not depressed. No, you probably just, your body like jams on that. My husband sleeps about 10 hours a day too. And like I get up at 5 o'clock every morning. My alarm goes off. He doesn't even roll. I mean, doesn't even budge. But that son of a bitch, he needs his 10 too. So I think it's just some people. I will say this. Sometimes I think people who, and maybe you're super smart, Kate, I don't know, but I will tell you that I think a lot of times when people are really smart and they think at a high level and stuff, you guys probably do need more sleep. I'm not saying that the rest of us are dumbasses, but I just know like my husband, like his brain, he is so smart and it works like all the time and he's very positive and he's always creating and stuff. I swear, I think that's why he needs so much sleep. It's not because he's slaying workouts and stuff, but I just think he does need more sleep. And so I just wouldn't judge it. You just never know. If you feel good and stuff, just keep doing it. I've been a member since January and I've been doing the things. I'm working on dealing with low blood sugar. If I hold out to my -2 on my hunger scale, my blood sugar drops very low. When it goes too low, I don't make the best decisions to treat my blood sugar. Should I switch to a 1? Why don't you try it, Denise, and see what happens? I think that that's a really good way to do it. Yeah, y'all, please. Like, now, I'm not saying the rest of us are idiots. I know that came out crazy, but I'm just being honest. My husband literally tops, he sits there and he tests in that top 1% in the world. He's super smart. Now, his common sense, he couldn't find his way out of a wet paper bag. I will just tell you, there is nobody in the world, like, I will say, he'd be like, where are the chips? Like, I don't know, in the pantry on the same fucking shelf they've been on for like 30 years. I'll go in, I'll be like, you mean these? He's like, oh, just couldn't find them. I'm like, how can you do the shit that you do and you can't find chips? Like, never. I'm always just like, what is wrong with you? But I do think sometimes that people who like, maybe you read a lot and all that kind of stuff. But here's what I do know about the brain. This is super interesting for all of you. And this will, like a lot of you, this will tell you why sometimes after a day where you're thinking really hard, why you're so exhausted. You know how like sometimes you'll say like, I didn't really do much today, but I'm so tired. Your brain actually burns more calories than your body does. Like for a whole day. Like, it is, it, that's why, like, a lot of times I tell people, like, if you've had a really, like, long day of, like, studying and figuring out stuff, like, if you're, you know, like, in your job, you're doing real tedious accounting one day, or, like, something that you do, like, when I do web design, stuff like that, your brain actually burns more calories than anything else. And that's why so much of your habit brain, your, like, your body is, or your brain is always trying to put so much into the habit central, is because you couldn't physically keep up if all day long your brain had to think about every single thing you have to do. So that's why I'm always telling you guys, be really mindful about the things you put on repeat, because your brain is always on the hunt to put as much stuff on repeat as possible, including your bad habits. It doesn't care if the habit serves you. It cares about just creating the habits because it needs to conserve its energy, because it's only going to want to use the conscious part of your brain about 5% of the day. So, like, if you have days where, like, when I have days where I know that I'm going to be doing a lot of studying and a lot of, like, really deep work, I go to bed exhausted. And it will be days that I didn't, like, even, like, move all day. But you might be hungrier on those days. You might require more sleep and stuff. So that is, like, you know, I know we were all joking around and stuff, but I don't know what you do for a living and stuff, but that could also be another reason why you need more sleep. People who have, like, very tedious jobs and stuff very often have to protect that brain. My husband's a coder. He's always looking through code and writing code, and he does all the finances, and, like, he does a lot of the stuff that just requires so much focus. That's why he spends most of the day with his door shut in there, because he gets, like, he has to get into this focus work, and he spends almost, like, 10 hours a day doing that every day. I guarantee you that's why his ass needs to sleep way more than me, because a lot of my work is talking, and it's a lot of, like, task switching, and then I'm reading and stuff. So, like, I just don't require as much sleep, even though I exercise and stuff. So, anyway. I always find the brain so fascinating. Let's do a couple more and then we'll get out of here, because there's a bunch. I feel like I'm using the same power question about myself over and over. I have written the same one down for the past 3 days. Am I a newbie? Is this normal? Yeah, that's fine. You can use the same one over and over again. I challenge people sometimes to come up with new ones. If that question's not getting traction, but you just keep writing it over and over again, switch it up. But a lot of mine tend to be the same. Same thing with the thought that you're working on believing, and same thing with the compelling reason. Some people switch them up every day and some people don't. How long did it take for you to learn to refocus your thoughts? You did it by yourself at first. I'm so glad you're in my life. I honestly don't know. It took a long time though. Like, it just, even to this day, I'm still constantly refocusing my brain on new things. I've just gotten really good at noticing when I'm thinking something that's not helpful, and then challenging myself to think of something that's helpful. And that, like, I think that you'll never get to where, like, a lot of times, like, you'll, like, refocus yourself on new thoughts, and eventually the old ones do die out, but not all of them. And some of them will come back after a while. They'll lay dormant for a long time and something will happen and then they'll come back. The real art is you get good at being willing to refocus, and that not being a problem, and that not being something that you want to have to end one day and stuff. You really, you just learn the skill of doing it, and then you don't mind doing it. It just becomes, it becomes a habit to do it, and it's so much easier then. I think I'm on a stall. I lost 30 pounds and have been the same way since mid-January. My dinner was excellent until this month, in which my hunger scale is 70%. I think that's because I'm not seeing any improvements. My motivation is dwindling. Your motivation is dwindling because of your thoughts. Remember, motivation is a feeling driven by thoughts. Thoughts are the things that are either going to keep you motivated and keep you focused and keep you doing things or not. If your hunger scale, like, if you are, like, I don't know what you mean by my hunger scale is dwindling by 30%. I'm not sure what that means. I also added exercise about 6 weeks ago. I'm doing CrossFit and running 2.5 miles. I think that's fine, Hope. Here's what I would do, though. I'd get that damn hunger scale in check. Look at what the, like, you can add in exercise and do all that stuff, but what's going on with the food? It's always about the food. We lose weight, we gain weight, we stall because of food all the time. So I want you to take a look at, since January, how many overeats have I had? If you've had zero overeats from January to April the 11th, and you've not lost any weight, then the next thing you do is you look at, okay, if I've had no, because if I've had overeats, I need to work on my overeating. I don't change up anything until I solve for overeating. When I get really consistent that I'm not overeating, because you'll start losing weight if you take out overeating. If I've had no overeating, then I need to look at my hunger scale. Am I truly waiting until I'm hungry, or am I kind of just in a rut? Like, I kind of think I am. Like, a lot of times we just kind of, we're not paying attention to it. We think we are, but if we really were watching it for a couple of weeks, we would notice, oh, sometimes I'm really just like, it's time. I think I'm hungry, because that's what I've gotten used to. So you just start looking at each side of the hunger scale on, okay, if I have no overeats, then I'm going to start looking at each side. Am I actually waiting until hunger? And am I actually stopping at satisfied? Do I have a new satisfied? Maybe I need to examine it. If that's in check, then the last thing to do is go through and you look at quality of food. Are there places that I can level up a little bit? Are there places where I can actually move the needle? Like, if I start, like, let's say you have baked chips 3 times a week and that you've been doing that for a long time. It's like, okay, well, once a week, could I just have, like, carrots and hummus? Could I have fruit? Could I, like, what are the little things? You take it all the way back to the basics every single time. On stalls and plateaus, guys, we don't mess with anything until we're solid on the overeating part, until we're really breaking all of that down. Then, when we are done with that part, then we can start looking at hunger scale. Then you back it up to quality of choices. One more. The greatest thing you've said to me so far that really hit home with me and is sticking with me is not quitting. I think that always the novelty wears off when you start something new, but you are so truthful and I feel the love so much here, and everyone has been so welcoming. I just want to say thank you to everyone. You're very welcome, Amy. Sierra, I usually have big swings during the week between weigh-ins, this week and one random week a month or so ago. I basically maintained or bounced up and down a few fractions of a pound. Is this normal? Is there something in my data that I should look at sitting down to do my weekly plan? What I would do is, if I'm reading this correctly, it is like you're weighing in throughout the week. I don't mind if you do, but daily weigh-ins are not going to be very, like, indicative of how to, that in my mind, I only track one weigh-in a week and that's it. And so that will show me more about what's actually happening in my weight loss than daily weigh-ins. Daily weigh-ins, your body is supposed to go up and down. Just like I started lifting this week, and I meant to talk about it one day and I just totally forgot. I knew on Monday, right before I started lifting, I was like, be prepared, Queenie. Scale's going to be up about 3 pounds this week. Because I know me. I'm going to lift and I'm going to be sore as fuck. And that's a lot of water that's getting held and stuff. So I told myself, it doesn't matter what you weigh each day. It only matters what you're doing each day. And that's something that's, like, so helpful, is that it doesn't matter what you weigh every day. It matters what you're doing every day for yourself. That's what ultimately, you know, matters. So each day I really started, like, looking at myself. And I'm very lucky that when I start lifting, I immediately start seeing, like my body, I think, always starts looking stronger really fast, because I've lifted for so many years now. It doesn't take much lifting to where my body responds. Like, muscle memory is a real thing, y'all. And so all week long, I would get on the scale and I would tell, like, before I would get on, I would look at myself and I would say, I really like the way my shoulders are coming in. I really like this. I really like that. Doesn't matter what the scale's going to say. And I would just weigh, just to be consistent with weighing. That was it. And let me just tell you, between ovulating and lifting weights, I've been up 3.5 pounds all week long. It probably will take me about 3 to 4 weeks before it's going to level out.
And then, like, and then it'll level out. And I'm okay with that. You know why? Because I'm doing exactly what I said I wanted to do. I'm lifting weights. I'm eating healthy. I'm planning wine. Like, my big goals right now are, because we're at home all the time, we're not going to drink unless it's planned. That's it. I have protocols around my wine drinking. I put them all in, and we've been honoring them. I've got my water going. I got all my things going. That's it. Like, all I can really do is focus on what I know is best for Corinne. And I get really particular about what's best for Corinne. And I really watch to make sure that I'm doing what's best for Corinne. That's what I can control. Everything else will happen as it should. And that's what I just believe in. It has always worked in my weight loss. It's worked in business. It, like, I don't sit around and think that, I was coaching on this week. I don't sit around and think about your results are my responsibility. Do you know what my responsibility is? Amazing calls, researching and teaching you guys shit. Like, my job is to give you, when you take phase two of No BS, to give you the most amazing circumstances in which for you to think and feel about why you're here. I do that, everything works. If I sit around and judge myself based on your results, I'm hosed. I have to judge myself on how I show up for me. And that just is for all of you and how you do your life. All right, we'll get out of here. You guys have a good one. I'll see everybody tomorrow, noon Central Time, on Zoom for coaching, where you get to raise your hand, get to get called on and all things. So I will see y'all then. Otherwise, y'all have an amazing day. Bye, y'all.